Hour of Power. The month of April is also dedicated to the Most Holy Eucharist, which is the sacrament of all sacraments, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The Eucharist is central to the Catholic faith. It is the indispensable element of Roman Catholicism. The Eucharist is Emmanuel, God with us. The Eucharist is proof positive that Jesus Christ keeps his promises, because he said he would remain with us until the end of time in Matthew 28:19. And guess what? As Dr. Scott Hahn says, he reigns now today as our Eucharistic King from every golden tabernacle around the world. Terry, I'm reporting for duty, Terry.
Yeah, see, I'm reporting for duty, and I'm getting better every day. And, you know, it's interesting you said Emmanuel. And the reason I bring this up, Jess, is Bishop Murray, Emmanuel, the one who was stabbed in Australia. God is with us, Emmanuel. I just love that name of the bishop. But we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Bill Maher revealing the grim truth of what, you know, his pro-abortion leftists really think about the reality that, yeah, it's a baby, but who cares, really? And then one interesting thing, I hope this relates to a lot of traditional Catholics, we're going to talk about what motivates someone to go to a traditional liturgy, what motivates people to want to know the perennial teachings of the church. I think you know, but we're going to talk about that, because a lot of people call these people rigid and, you know, not willing to change. Well, you know, I want to know what Christ teaches. And if you want to change what Jesus teaches, I want nothing to do with you. So we're going to talk about that. But Jess, this is a good to know file. Crazy. Italy faces a catastrophic collapse of the Catholic faith as mass attendance is now falling below 10%. And what that means, Jesse, is the Church of Rome, right there in Italy, very few people are practicing their faith. And I can see, you know, in a short while, Muslims coming in, Protestants, others, and they're growing, and we're just dying. And, I will profess to say the reason we're dying is it's all about bringing forth new life. And one of the things, Europe and even America, our birth numbers are going so far down, we're not replacing ourselves. And then we have other religions like Islam that's having babies like crazy. And I'll just say this right up front. By the year 2060, Pew Research says most of the world will be Muslim if we Christians don't get our act together, because we have leaders in our church right now who say, stop breeding like rabbits, just a few years ago.
That was Pope Francis.
I know, and that was a problem, because the point is this is adding to the church's dismay from the work from within. So anyhow, Italy, let's pray that they will wake up. Also, Jesse, I love when athletes profess their allegiance to Jesus Christ. World's top golfer, Scottie Scheffler, praises Jesus Christ ahead of the 2024 Masters. I don't watch golf, but the very fact that he says, I believe in Jesus, ultimately, I think that's what defines me the most. Well, hey, you know what? That's inspirational, because he's going to get a lot of feedback from a lot of people who are going to say, why don't you just keep your religion to yourself? So I want to say thank you for doing that. Last thing, and I'll turn it to you, Jesse. Researchers discover pronounced reversal of biological aging after women give birth. Yes, it's about an 8-year period. What happens when a mom gives birth, their system in this is showing that it renews most of their physical features. And I would say this, Jesse, I don't know about you, but I always told my wife when she would have a baby that she looked younger. And I had no idea about this, but she looked more beautiful to me. Mm. Now, maybe it was because she was holding a baby, but I really did. Her joy, her smile, holding that baby, she looked younger to me.
You know, Terry, also something interesting that's proven is that the cells of a baby...
Still in there, yep.
Yeah, remain with the mother forever.
Amen.
Forever.
That's our...
And and if think about this, that means the cells of the God-man, Jesus Christ, are in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary forever.
What a great thought, Jess.
Think about that.
Yes.
Terry, I just want to mention that for all you Arizonian Catholics, there's a call to action today, April 17th, at the Arizona State Capitol. We're standing up for life at the Capitol. if you can join many Catholics and Protestants to stand up for the protection of the unborn and Beautiful. Advocate for the sanctity of life. From 8 to 12 noon, greet the legislators before they go into the closed caucus, and they're going to allow several people to speak. You have to sign up to speak. There's a prayer vigil outside as well. We're praying that the legislators will continue to affirm the law in Arizona that was passed back in the 1860s.
Love it.
That would only allow abortion only for the health of the mother. That's the way the 1860 law read. And basically, abortions after that would not be allowed.
Right.
And so there are hundreds of people out there right now in front of the Arizona State Capitol. If you can make it over there, your presence and participation are crucial to uphold the rights of the most vulnerable humans of our society. And together we can make a difference and ensure that that Arizona remains a state that cherishes and defends human life.
Hey, man, let's get some soul food unless you got something else, Jeff. That's a great...
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening.
Amen.
John chapter 6, verse 35 to 40, our Lord says, Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me. And I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, from John chapter 6, from verses 1 to 47, when our Lord keeps talking about in his bread of life discourse, he says, the bread of life is this, to believe in the one that God sent.
Yeah.
So a lot of Protestants hold on to John chapter 6, all the verses from 1 to 47. They say, see, Jess, all you got to do is believe in Jesus, and that's the bread of life. It's your faith that's the bread of life. That's the way the Protestants argue. The problem is they forget to read from verses 48 to the end, to verse 70, because that's where our Lord gets very specific that the bread of life is actually his body and blood that he will give for us and that we must eat it. So before verse 47, the Protestants will make an argument like today's chat. They'll say, see, Catholics, the bread of life, all that means is to believe in Jesus. That's the bread of life. That's all you need. Believe in Jesus. No, that's part of it. The bread of life specifically is told to us by Jesus what that is, that it's the Eucharist, and it starts from verse 48 all the way to the end of the chapter. Also, something very interesting, for those that went to Mass today, Jesus says that it's the will of the Father that those that that see the Son, see with your eyeballs, S-O-N, the Son, and believe in him have eternal life. Well, guess what? Catholics are the only people on planet Earth that can see the sun, S-O-N, every day if they'd like, at what we call daily Mass. You cannot see the sun, S-O-N, at any Protestant service, because the sun does not become manifest in their communion services. This only happens in the Catholic Church, where you can see with your eyeballs the sun and fulfill this verse. And also, to be honest, the Orthodox Christians also see the sun well, Terry.
Oh, yeah. Well said. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room right now, Archbishop. You know, before I give the quote by Sheen, I just want to encourage people to watch Father Chad's Ripperger's video on fear of the Lord. And he's pointing out that that's one of the big problems in our culture, that not only do people not believe in God, but they don't fear him. All right, here's what Bishop Sheen says. Pride is at the peak when man cuts himself off from any relationship to God and thus makes himself a God. Sounds like today. He elevates his relative character into an absolute, you know, my truth. Very much like a carbon copy calls itself the original. Well, I want to just say this, that what Bishop Sheen just said is exactly what's going on today, because nobody wants any restrictions. They don't want anybody saying, you know, like, hey, don't tell me I can't kill babies. You know, who are you to say? I have my truth. You have your truth. It's like saying, Terry, you know, you're 7'5". No, I'm 5'5". Well, I said it, so I must be it. Here's the point. We got to live back in reality. This whole issue right now in the world right now is that they're living in la-la land, because they say, well, I'm a man, but I think I should have been born a girl, so I'm going to make the change. See, this very fact that people are saying, I believe this makes it true, that is almost laughable. But here's the problem. Even in the government, they're saying that now. And in certain churches, they're saying that. So we don't have a source like we have as a Catholic, Jesus Christ. All right, when we come back, I want to give an inspirational shout out to the Bishop Marmar Emmanuel, who was stabbed by a black clad assailant while delivering what? Preaching on the gospel. Yeah, we're going to talk about that and get the circumstances behind it, because he's another, example of laying his life down for Jesus. Stay with us, family. We'll be back after a quick break. Welcome back. Yes, Terry here, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I'm getting my voice back. Just, man, it's amazing. This morning at 6, I couldn't talk. Now I'm doing better. Jesse, the bishop from the Assyrian church, he's a priest. He was stabbed during the church service. Everybody knows about it. It's gone viral. Tell us a little bit more background on this.
Yeah, an Assyrian bishop, I think he's from one of the branches of Orthodoxy.
Right, yep.
Yeah, he was stabbed during a church service in Australia. Mm-hmm. By a young teenager who was yelling "Allahu Akbar."
Yeah, okay? Interesting.
That means Allah is the greatest. What that means really is Allah is the greatest God, and you Jews and Christians worship a phony god or a lesser god. That's what "Allahu Akbar" means. Now, this Assyrian bishop, Terry, he's a truth teller. You could watch him on YouTube. He's got a big following.
Oh yeah.
He's he puts it out there.
Yes, he does.
And he also, he speaks perfect Arabic, so he could read the Quran in Arabic like Father Zechariah Botros.
Mm-hmm.
And he also points out the errors in the Quran. Yeah. I think that's what triggered this young man.
Oh, yeah.
He probably watched some of the videos on this bishop making thoughtful academic criticisms from the Quran, from the Arabic. And this is why this 15-year-old boy, young man, on Monday, stabbed the priest and three others during a service at the Orthodox Assyrian Church. Police were immediately called to the area of Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Wakeley. This happened about 7:10 p.m. Multiple people were stabbed, by the way, by this young guy. The bishop's name, Mari Emmanuel. He was preaching when the young assailant approached him, began stabbing at his head and upper body.
Yeah.
According to a live stream, it was live streamed.
Oh yeah, I saw it several times.
That aired on the church's YouTube and subsequently went viral on social media after the incident. And here's what some of the posts on social media said.
Yeah,
it said three others, including Father Isaac Royel, were injured as they tried to stop the stabbing. All received care at the scene and were taken to a hospital, though no one experienced life-threatening injuries, according to authorities. The police, who noted in a press release at 12:34 a.m. local time that their operation had concluded, they arrested a man at the scene and they moved him to an undisclosed location. The young perpetrator was seen smiling.
Yeah, it was a wicked smile. I saw.
Oh, as he was restrained by a parishioner in the church.
Yeah.
Police did not immediately release the identity of the assailant, but noted that he was only 15 years old.
Yeah, they found out he's 16, not 15.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And that he experienced serious hand injuries, according to the press agency. A photo circulated on X appeared to show that some of his fingers had been cut off. Tense protests erupted outside the church following the incident, prompting hundreds of officers to respond, including SWAT officers in armored vehicles. Riot police ultimately dispersed the crowd with tear gas and established a perimeter around the church. Law enforcement asked the media not to publicize the location where the suspect remains in custody to prevent further protests, according to the Associated Press. And the church urged calm in a statement released on social media following the attack.
Yeah.
The statement was the following. We ask for your prayers at this time. It is the bishop's and the father's wishes that you also pray for the perpetrator. We also kindly ask anyone at the church premises to leave in peace, as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, teaches us. And the final post, this happened, Terry, in New South Wales.
Yeah.
They've condemned the attack, the politicians there, calling the scene very disturbing. And it says here, my thoughts and prayers are with the victims and first responders who are working to keep us safe, said the South Wales Premier, Chris Minns. I guess he's like the mayor. It's important that the community remain calm and continue to listen and act to the directions of police and emergency services. Fairfield Mayor Frank Carbone, who heads the nearby municipal government, described the situation as very emotional and urged everyone to stay calm, according to local news.
Yes, can I jump in and just say,
jump right in, Terry?
Something that I found out from another source, that the switchblade that this young man used did not open properly. It was somewhat like closed. If it would have opened properly and he attacked the bishop probably wouldn't be here today.
He'd be dead.
I'm assuming that God intervened here, Jess. Switchblades aren't supposed to not work.
Exactly. That was divine intervention. So he just kept clubbing him
with
the closed switchblade. But at some point, it must have opened.
Oh, yeah, it did. He got it. He opened it again. Somebody just said he realized, from what I read, he realized it wasn't opening. So he opened it, and that's where the slashing came in.
But apparently he cut his fingers off.
That's what we read. And then there's one more thing, Jesse. With your police background, this young man in January of this year was arrested for knifing somebody. So here's my point. How many times, Jess, as a cop, for a long time, you arrest somebody and it was their first violation of the law?
That hardly ever happens. According to statistics in law enforcement, 95 to 97% of the crimes are committed by the same 3% of the population.
There you go.
It's recidivism. It's the same 3% that are committing the most of 95 to 97% of the crime over and over again.
And Jesse, can I jump in on?
Yep.
Is that why in El Salvador, when the president of El Salvador took all the gang members and threw them in jail, crime went way down to hardly anything?
Salvador is now the safest country in the world because guess what? Taking people to jail works, and locking them up for long periods of time, even life sentences. Guess what, Terry? It works. Right now, El Salvador is the safest country in North and South America, and it was the most violent country.
Yeah.
It was like in the top three on planet Earth. Now it's like, now you want to go on vacation over there.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about his, because I think some people might not know that he was very outspoken about the jab. He was outspoken. He was critical of the churches, Catholic and Orthodox, who closed the churches.
This Bishop Mari, he reminds me of our Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano.
Mm-hmm.
He's our Vigano.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the best way that
analogy.
I can put it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he pulls no punches on anything, on government, on the jab, on big tech, on big pharma, on Islam. He's just somebody who's a truth teller. Now, you know, I did hear a couple of Catholic purists that were saying, "Hey, he's a heretic. He's an Nestorian Orthodox heretic."
I know.
You know, all I could say is this, Terry, is that some of these Orthodox schismatics like him and Father Zakaria Botros, Terry, they have more apostolic courage and love for Jesus than most Catholics that have the fullness of faith.
Yep. Well said. So that's my look at our church right now and then say, I'm going to condemn somebody outside the church. Are you kidding me? Look at the cowardice in the Catholic Church when it comes to speaking out for Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I don't want to have to say it, but it's true. We need more bishops like him in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, Terry, and this isn't the first rodeo for Islam.
No.
They've been They've been going into churches and attacking priests and bishops for a long time. All you got to do is like an internet search. It happened a couple of years ago. A Muslim terrorist walked up to a Catholic bishop during mass in Mexico and started stabbing him just like this.
Yeah.
It also happened in France during a daily mass.
I remember Catholic the priest elderly was sell, priest.
Offering mass.
Yeah, I remember.
And a Muslim went in there and stabbed him to death.
Yeah.
So this is not something. And I'll tell you why this happens. I'll tell you why this happens. Because Islam is a satanic religion. That's why. Why do I say that? Well, two reasons. They reject Jesus Christ, his lordship and kingship. The Bible is very clear that those who reject the Son cannot be saved. They reject Jesus, his claims. They reject that he's the Savior of the world. They reject that he's the Son of God, co-equal with the Father. Secondly, in the Quran, there are 164 violent verses that tell Muslims to attack and kill non-Muslims. So the book is systemically flawed. Islam is not a religion of peace like George Bush told us, Terry.
Oh.
It's a political ideology.
Yep.
And its radical beliefs are completely intolerant of anybody else. It's the Quran is completely at odds with the Holy Bible, and the Quran and Sharia law is completely at odds with the U.S. Constitution.
Can I just jump in, Jesse? And
jump
something?
Right in, Terry.
And this is how it is. You want proof of that? I have Muslim friends, okay? And I asked them, if Sharia law said, came in, and you were told by your Muslim faith that you must kill me, because you know we're in Sharia law, you guys take over and you got the majority, what would you do? He says, well, I'd have to kill you. I'm like, thanks for your honesty. I mean, but Jesse, I've used this many times over Muslims. I asked them, I say, and you don't see a problem with that? No. Allah's great. See how they're either brainwashed or there's something satanic about that, Jesse, that you would tell somebody that my religion says, I have to kill you, I will just kill you. See, that's not a religion of peace.
Terry, and also, here's the danger.
Tell me.
Is that a lot of Muslim terrorists are coming into this country through the south border.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what we saw over in Australia...
Yeah.
Don't think those things aren't brewing right under our noses here in the United States.
Yep.
Because what happens is I've talked to a Muslim who converted to the Catholic faith. His name's Daniel Ali. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, I bought his book. It was called 101 Questions Catholics to Know About Islam from Ascension Press.
Yep.
And so I've met him several times at different conferences that we spoke at together. And in his book, I asked him, I said, you have a section in your book where you talk about immigration, Islamic, jihad through immigration.
Yes.
That's what it's called, jihad. And he goes, yeah, Jess, that's a technique. He goes, I used to teach that because I'm a scholar. I'm an Islamic scholar. He goes, I used to teach that in the University of Baghdad.
Wow.
He said, the plan is we know we can't beat the West hand to hand, mano a mano. We can't. The West has superior military arsenal and superior.
Yep.
Yeah. Superior technology and weapon systems. Mm-hmm. He says, but the way we can beat the West, and he goes, I would teach this as an Islamic scholar. We just have to outpopulate them, have more children, and then move into their countries and then start taking over positions of power. Like in Congress, we have several radical Muslims in Congress in the Democrat Party.
Incredible.
He says, that's all we have to do. It's called jihad through immigration. And guess what, Terry? I'll tell you the first country that's going to fall. There's countries in Europe that are on the verge of collapsing to Islamic domination.
Yeah. Yep. No, I agree, Jess. And that's why I say again from the beginning of the show about Italy right now, 10% less than 10% are practicing their faith. Their demographics are showing they're not having babies. Who's having babies? In England, you know what the most common name in England is?
Muhammad.
You got it. It's not George.
No.
All right, when we come back, yes, what do we got covered, brother? I know, Bill Maher.
Absolutely.
An abortion and standing up for life.
You got it.
We'll be back, Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin, Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family. We want to inspire you called Deep Love with Jesus Christ and His Bride, the Church. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess, I'm going to make an announcement that Bishop Joseph Strickland will be with us, our VMPR studio. Not only studio, he'll be with us on a pilgrimage to the Southwest. And it'll be September 30th to October 4th. And just mark your calendars. We'll be putting something up on the website to people so people can register for that event. But can you imagine spending 5 days with Bishop Joseph Strickland, Jesse Romero, Matthew Arnold, and this knucklehead, Terry Barber? We're going to get to know all you people who come because we're going to have meals together, we're going to pray together, and we're going to visit the great missions of Southern California, and also we're going to come and visit the studios here at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel. So if you can mark your calendar down for that, September 30th to October 4th, we'll have more information next week for you. Jesse, let's talk about Bill Maher.
Yeah, Terry, just want to give people just a quick update.
Good.
Right now at the Arizona State Capitol, you have hundreds of pro-lifers there.
Good.
And they're voting, the legislators are voting on this 1860 bill or law that prohibits abortion for the entire 9 months except for the life of the mother.
Right.
And so they're going back and forth right now. And there's a lot of Catholics out there praying in front, so they'll be there from 8 a.m. to 12 noon for another 30 minutes. So if you want to go there and join them with prayer, they're having a prayer vigil as both the right and left are battling over this 1860 law that we as pro-lifers want to keep on the books.
Amen.
And the left wants to take it away.
Wow.
Okay.
Hit it. Yes.
Bill Maher reveals the grim truth of what pro-abortion leftists really think. It's a viral clip. Bill Maher, a leftist, he admitted that abortion is murder, but he said it was okay because there's about 8 billion people in the world. He was remarkably honest, and these comments demonstrate the grisly logic of the pro-abortion position.
Yep.
You could tell that the man's intellect is completely darkened by sin.
Yep.
This is a video you can watch. It's gone viral. It's pretty fascinating because he's honest, and he tells us what abortion advocates really feel and what they think. He was honest. He recognizes that abortion is murder. First of all, Bill Maher, that abortion is murder. It's the murder of an innocent human being made in the image and likeness of God. He admits that.
Yep.
Second, Bill Maher recognizes that the only credible position against abortion is to oppose all abortions.
Mm-hmm.
This is because every baby is equally loved by God and of equal value in the sight of God. It doesn't matter whether the unborn baby is 1 minute, 8 weeks, or 8 months old. It doesn't matter how they were conceived. All human beings are of equal value. They all deserve to be protected. Third, Bill Maher admits that the pro-abortion lobby are lying when they accuse pro-lifers of hating women. Bill Maher frankly acknowledges that the left just made it up. He recognizes that pro-lifers don't hate women and are just people who want to stop babies being murdered.
Yep.
Reality. The fourth thing that he admits in this interview that you can watch, it's on media. The fourth thing he admits is that people who support abortion know it's murder and they're okay with it.
Yep.
They know perfectly well that they're killing babies and they're fine with that. They think that there are more important things than loving and protecting human life. They think that sexual liberation is more important than protecting babies, or that keeping mothers working to produce wealth for others is more important than love. And the fifth thing that Bill Maher acknowledges, that the population control agenda is another major reason why they kill babies on an industrial scale. Maher justifies the murder of babies on the basis that there are 8 billion people in the world. Well, guess what? Here at VMPR Radio, LifeSite News, and others, we're never going to stop exposing the globalist depopulation agenda. Leading globalists want to reduce the world population down to 1 billion, according to a Freemasonic Ten Commandments that they have. But to achieve this task, they will need to kill billions of babies and adults, too, in every part of the world. Bill Maher's comments just show how much influence advocacy for the fake population crisis has on increasing support for the abortion agenda. In fact, Bill Maher reveals the cold-heartedness, cruelty, and callousness of those who support abortion. And speaking of the murdered babies, he says, quote, "We won't miss you."
Wow.
In other words, they don't have any feelings for their victims because their hearts are hardened like Pharaoh and they're far from the love of God.
Yep.
But we, as Catholics, will never forget the more than 1 billion babies who have already been killed by abortion. We miss them, we honor them, we fight for them, and we pray for them. Bill Maher's truthful statements can help provide us with a framework for fighting back. First, we must always tell the truth that abortion is murder and never be tempted to soften our language. Second, we must oppose all abortions and never exclude any group from our love and protection, whether based on age or the circumstances or their conception. That's exactly what's happening right now at the Arizona State Capitol.
Yep.
Third, we must never change our behavior or speech based on the abortion lobby's lies. They know that we don't hate women. We must treat their lies with the contempt that they deserve. Fourth, we must never stop exposing the globalist plot to depopulate the world by means of abortion and euthanasia. They want to kill us, and they want to kill our children and grandchildren. We mustn't have any illusion about this, and we must fight them until we win. And fifth, we must love all our human beings without exception. To do this, we must draw close to God, who is the source of all love. The evil in the world is overwhelming, but nothing is too powerful for God, who has already overcome all suffering and death by his life, death, and resurrection. May God bless us and grant us the victory.
Yeah, Jesse, my thoughts on all this, many other well-known people like Bill Handel, who's got one of the largest radio secular stations on KFI, goes across the country. He said this 4 or 5 years ago that, I'll be honest, because I don't want to beat around the bush. Yeah, abortion is live. It's a live baby. I'm a surrogate guy. I mean, I'm into, you know, formulating babies out of a test tube, and it's a baby. But who cares? It's not wanted, and it's in the way. So these guys, what happens is it's all about me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. And here's the other kicker on this. If you ask Bill Maher, Bill, you're up in your 60s, maybe 70 years of age.
Yep.
What about euthanasia? When you are in a situation where you're elderly and you just can't, you know, do all the things you want to go do and immoral things, anything, you just don't think life is worth living, would you just euthanize yourself? And, you know, many of these guys have said, of course I would. But you see, they have no, the devil has put a blindfold on them. Yep. They have no fear of the Lord because they don't believe there is a God. Mm-hmm. They really believe this. And this is what I've analyzed, and I could be wrong, but many of these people, whether it's Bill Handel or more, they believe that life is a short period. Have as much fun. Have every, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, but if you're having fun, it counts. And then when that's done and you're going to have to suffer, just give me a pill, shoot me, get me out of here because I don't. There's nothing after death. And boy, do they have a big surprise. But we have more people living like God doesn't exist. And that's the attitude you come up with when you don't think there's a God. Fear the Lord. Father Chad Ripperger's video, I told you at the beginning, go check that out. Because he thinks that when people don't believe that there's no judgment at the end of their life, that they just can do anything they want, have as much fun, and then they don't exist and they don't have to pay the price. That's what I call the devil's greatest accomplishment, to make people believe that there is no existence of God or the devil. Mm. Your thoughts, Jess?
Yeah, Terry. Pope St. John Paul II, he popularized the term culture of death in his 1995 encyclical called The Gospel of Life.
Yeah.
That's the first time he used it.
Yeah.
And the term culture of death refers to any society or nation where killing innocent human beings has been legalized and institutionalized. That's America, Terry.
Yep, you nailed it.
This killing can be legalized through actual legislation, government policies, executive orders, or through court action. And in many cases, the laws or policies are even rewritten in such a way as to legally define these persons as non-citizens or even non-humans. And to further justify the act of killing, in such a case, the killing of innocent children receives not only the sanction of law, but also the general agreement of the American population, like Bill Maher, which signifies its acceptance through active cooperation, through apathy, yep, or simply silence, what we would call the sin of omission.
That's it.
And I'll tell you, Terry, another reason why abortion exists is two reasons.
Tell me.
Number one, the person behind it is Satan.
Yes.
Because Satanists call abortion a sacrament.
Yeah.
Notice the word they use. They choose it very carefully. For them, it is a sacrament, is a blood sacrifice to their father, the devil. And the second thing, let's just be honest. Abortion is a powerful economic force in our society. It's a lucrative business, Terry,
yeah,
that benefits that benefits the elites in our society.
You're absolutely right. Look at Bernard Nathanson, who personally did 75,000 abortions. But here's the kicker. There are many abortion doctors who have been converted to Jesus Christ, yeah, and they repented. And if you're one, if you know anybody who's had an abortion, you know, we're not condemning you. We know what we're doing. Ask for forgiveness to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Go to confession. Because I know most women in our country right now, Jesse, have had abortions.
Yeah.
Which is a tragedy.
Yep, yep.
But you know what? There's the merciful face of Jesus Christ there waiting for you to ask for forgiveness from him. Go to confession and get back into the good graces with Jesus. Because this abortion has duped a lot of men and women to believe that, yeah, it's just like anything else. Or, so it's a baby. Get out of the way. It's like, I'm going to run you over if you're in my way. That's our culture.
That's right. Hey, if anybody here in Phoenix, Arizona, we got 30 more minutes before the state capitol, the argument's closed. You can go over there if you're close.
Yep.
Take your rosary and go join hundreds of Catholics praying in front of the Arizona State Capitol as we fight to keep our state pro-life.
Amen.
We'll be right back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
We're going to talk about the conservative, Orthodox Catholics and what makes them tick. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back. Jesse, I love this topic you picked. Traditional Catholics are motivated by deep faith and Jesus Christ, not virtue signaling. And I say this because this article really points out that people want traditional liturgies, they want the traditional doctrine, they don't want novelties, and they don't do it because they're being hard-headed or rigid. They're doing it because they want the truth of what Jesus Christ has perennially taught on when it comes to the faith. But let's get into this article, brother.
Yeah, this woman is a mom, Kathleen Bowen, homeschooling mom of 10 children.
And
here's what she writes. I'll go right into the meat of it.
Yeah.
Third paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, people don't attend traditional Latin Mass parishes because they are looking for an opportunity to virtue signal,
yeah,
or to be part of an elite club. Rather, they desire to worship God the way he deserves to be worshiped.
Amen.
Traditional Catholics are sinners, too. They are the type of people you will find at any parish. Some are very good, some well, not so much. But isn't this true of all the people you know?
Of course.
I am guilty of the naive assumption that traditional Catholics ought to be holier or better than mainstream Catholics. I laugh at the thought as I now remind myself, people's is people's. Traditional Catholics aren't better than anyone else. They're not smarter than anyone else. They aren't more successful than anyone else. They aren't less catty than anyone else. As a whole, they behave like every other group of people, slamming rude comments that individuals make with some sort of smear against traditionalists as a whole is actually playing into the hands of those who would like to see all the Catholic voices removed from public discourse. In defense of traditionalists as a whole, I'd like to share my experience as a proud member of that crowd. I believe that those who embrace tradition do so because of their deep faith in Jesus Christ, and this desire is nourished through a detachment from the things of this earth and a love for the church that Christ established. That's a beautiful statement.
I love it.
Many millennials who have embraced tradition were given a superficial faith due to decades of poor catechesis.
Fact.
When they find the traditional Latin Mass, it's as though they have found the pearl of great price. The most beautiful thing this side of heaven becomes their treasure.
Mm-hmm.
They are often worldlings who must commit themselves to learning and practicing the faith of our fathers. As they begin detaching themselves from the things of this world, things to which they were so very much attached, they dedicate newfound time into immersing themselves in the treasure trove of traditional Catholic customs and devotions. The Mass of the Ages inspires them to use their talent for the greater glory of God.
Jump in for a second. The Mass of Ages is a video title that everyone needs to watch. It's on YouTube. Continue.
Imbibing everyone, they pursue with the graces God bestows on their faithfulness. This process of detachment, by the way, which all of us are supposed to go through,
yeah,
from the world, leads to a great love for the church and a desire to protect her from her enemies. Enemies from within and without. The love of for Holy Mother Church can be likened to a child's love for his mother. Those who love the church in this way want to defend her honor and see her presented in her most attractive arrangement. Arraignment says. When tradition is witnessed for the first time, a Catholic who loves the church is overwhelmed by the beauty taken in by all the senses. The sacred polyphony, the glorious vestments, the smell of incense, the sound of the bells, the masculinity of the priests and servers, and especially the joy of receiving our Lord while kneeling and on the tongue at the communion rail, all contribute to an often life-changing experience.
Amen.
I agree. Yep. Yeah. The conversion to tradition is a love story motivated by virtue of faith. All characters in a love story have shortcomings, but all is forgiven for the sake of the beloved. I think our Lord knew peoples as peoples, too. He chose the most ordinary of the ordinary to be his apostles, and on the eve of his death, they quarreled over their place at the table. Please permit me a brief catechism lesson that serves as a good reminder to us all. From the Baltimore Catechism, it says, the Roman Catholic Church is one because all its members, according to the will of Christ, profess the same faith, have the same sacrifice and sacraments, and are united under the one and same visible head, the Pope. All of us who assist at the same sacrifice, receive the same sacraments, and hold the same faith will also quarrel for our place at the table. Let's follow Jesus' commandment to love one another and strive to be like John the Beloved, who reclined on our Lord's chest and remained at the foot of the cross when all others fled. Well written.
Yeah,
Ralph, well written.
And
yes.
You know, Jesse, I see this also. I go to the Anglican Ordinariate, which is a really very similar Mass, except it's in Old English. And because I've been sick, I said to my wife, I'm just going to go to the local parish and, I'm just going to quietly go to the Mass and come home midday because I can still do it. I couldn't do it in the morning. Well, when I went there, I realized that the priest said, I'm the silliest priest in this diocese. I love to have a good time. And he was just being real silly at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I was sick by watching him up on the altar. And then he tried to tell people, it doesn't really matter anything about just that you love God and that we really are the Eucharist. And, you'll hear people use terms like transubstantiation, transfinalization, consubstantiation, all these different terms. It doesn't matter because we're the Eucharist. And Jesse, I'm in my seat going, now you know why I don't go to local parishes who preach heresy. And I would just lead with our listeners. Go find a parish that will preach the gospel correctly. And if you live in Southern California, you have lots of options.
Yes.
But I realize some people live out in a Timbuktu where they only have one parish. I get that. But what I'm going to make a supplement is show the children and you videos of streaming of masses and homilies. Get Father Chad's homilies, get the good bishop's homilies, and start listening to those so you can be supplemented. Because if you're at a parish that's a modernist parish, it's going to affect not only you, but your children. So this is why this article was so beautiful, that I want to go be motivated by the love of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be worldly. And what's happening in many of the parishes for the last 50, 60 years is kumbaya Catholicism, balloons, banners, and that has just destroyed the church.
Absolutely. Terry, and I know some people oftentimes they'll criticize, poo-poo the word conservative.
Yeah.
Well,
it's biblical though.
Cool. Yeah, I'm gonna take issue with that. Okay.
You should.
Yeah. When you look up the word conservative on dictionary.com, the word conservative, it means traditional. The word conservative means to hold on to or to hold fast to. So notice those definitions from any Webster's Dictionary, Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. Conservative means traditional or hold on to tradition or hold fast to or hold on to. Well, that's exactly what St. Paul said. He just didn't use the word conservative, but he may as well have. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, he says to the Thessalonians, he said, hold fast. That word hold fast, that means conservative.
Yep.
That's what the word conservative means. Hold fast. It's in the Bible. Hold fast to the traditions. Ah, that word tradition, that's a synonym for conservative. So in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, St. Paul actually could have used the word conservative twice in sacred scripture because that's what conservative means.
Yep.
It means to hold on to, hold fast to the deposit of faith. It means hold on to the tradition.
That's right.
And this is, Terry, the time that we're living in, this is what the left that calls themselves, and they're open about it, Terry.
Oh, yeah.
They call them, the left calls themselves progressive.
Yep.
And people don't seem to have a problem with that. Well, I do have a problem with that.
I do too.
And I'll tell you why I have a problem with that. Now, let's just be honest. There are some things that I'm cool with being progressive about, like faster computers, you know, faster wristwatch, you know, faster microwave, better, you know, toasters. Yeah, I'm okay with progressing in those things.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But when it comes to the faith, the deposit of faith, morality, life, marriage, you can't progress from what God gave us.
Right.
It's fixed. It's immutable. It doesn't change.
That's right.
God's law, moral law doesn't change. You can't be progressive when it comes to God's law.
Amen. Jesse, well said. And you know, this is probably a good time again to just, because we got a couple minutes here, yeah, is that dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. Dedicate yourself to the Holy Eucharist. Pray your rosary. Get the confession on a regular basis. I mean, these are things that every Catholic should be doing. But look around right now at parishes. Look at how many people go to Holy Communion and then show up on Saturday night and you got 3 or 4 people going to confession.
That's right.
Father, you know, used to tell us that was from the Fathers of Mercy, Father Casey, Bill Casey. Hmm. He used to say, you know, something's wrong here. We don't have a sense of sin. And this has been going on for 50, 60 years. So make sure you understand with a good examination of conscience. The Fathers of Mercy have a good one online you could use. Because let's be honest, this idea of universal salvation, that everybody goes to heaven, that's what they're being preached at many, many parishes. And they don't talk about repent and believe in the gospel.
That's right.
And we need to get back to the fundamentals. And as Bishop Strickland would say, we need to become first century Christians again.
Yep. I'll tell you how you fix America. We have to put Jesus back in all the places that we've kicked him out.
Yep.
We got to bring him back into your homes. You got to bring him back into schools. Yeah. We got to bring him back into government. We got to bring him back into the church.
Amen.
And most importantly, we got to bring Jesus Christ back in every single heart, your heart and my heart. Here's the summary of the life of Jesus Christ. 4 points. First bullet. When he was born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ started Operation Rescue. Second bullet, when he walked on earth for 33 years, he was Mr. Perfect, and he did everything perfect. Number three, on the cross, Jesus Christ bench-pressed the sins of the world.
Yep.
And number four, at his resurrection, Jesus Christ proved he's the most powerful deadlifter in the world. That's my Jesus.
I never heard anybody put it that way, but amen, amen. Jess Romero, I hear the music. That means we've got to say goodbye for this show, but I want to encourage people to take the podcast, send it to your friends. That's how we're growing. Our YouTube channel is growing leaps and bounds. Our get your free app. Thousands of people each show listen to the radio from our app, not just radio stations. So, Jess Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of sanctifying grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Remember, life's greatest pursuit is get to know Jesus. He's the fulfillment of all our desires.
And just so you know, to get that free app, just go to your Apple Store or whatever you're, and just type in vmpr.org or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Hey, Jess, I always say this. Our Lady of Fatima said souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. The reaction is like a blank check. Offer it all to Jesus. And then you unite that with the salvific work of Jesus Christ on the cross and participate in that out of this world. Join us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you.